Thank you, John. So as you heard, our text for this evening is the chapters 13 through to 21. And so clearly we are not going to read those here this afternoon. But I do encourage you to take some time, maybe in the week ahead, to reflect on those chapters and see how they apply to the message that we hear this afternoon. So congregation, if you by chance have read those chapters recently, you may be forgiven for thinking that they seem a little bit dull. This is quite a change of the pace of the earlier stories. There, we had exciting stories of war and conquest, of struggle and battle, of spies and danger, of walls tumbling down. Stories of war seem much more interesting than land surveys and geography lessons. The accounts of the crossing of the Jordan, the taking of Jericho, the capture of Ai are much easier to read than these lists of cities and rivers and boundaries. So, what's the point? Why are these chapters in the Bible? Why did Joshua have all this recorded in such detail? And what lesson is there in this for us? What profit can we gain from all of this? There are two main reasons, and both are related. It shows us that God gave Israel this land in fulfillment of his promises. So God is faithful. But he also commanded them to occupy the land. And so it reminds us to do our task in our allotted place. So we only have two main points in this evening's message. God gave Israel the land as he had promised. It had been long promised to Israel. The Lord had first made his promise way back in 2000 BC to Abraham. When Abraham first arrived in Canaan, God had promised, "To your offspring, I will give this land." The Lord repeated that promise to him a number of times throughout his life. But by the time he died, all he owned was a small piece of land that he bought as a burial site for his wife, Sarah. The Lord repeated these promises to Isaac and to Jacob, but they did not get to inherit the land either. As we know, Jacob went to Egypt to be with Joseph, and Israel was there for 430 years. Then they wandered into the desert for 40 years. And then the initial conquest of Canaan took another 7. God had warned Abraham that it would take a long time. He told him that his descendants would be slaves in another country and would be mistreated for over 400 years. Then, in the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not reached its full measure. This meant they had to be patient. They had to believe in God's promise, waiting for this promise to come true. Brothers and sisters, that is true for us as well. We live in an age of instant gratification. We are used to having our desires satisfied now, immediately, without any waiting or fussing around. By our timing isn't necessarily God's timing. Sometimes we need to wait, to be patient, to trust in God's promises, and to allow him to work things out in his way and in his time. And so this promise was a long time in coming. But eventually it came, And it was a promise fulfilled. God fulfilled his promise by giving them the land of Canaan. No wonder they wanted to record all of the details. This was their land. The Americans have a song that goes, "This land is your land. This land is my land." The people of Israel could have sung that as well. This was a place to call their own. After having been slaves in Egypt for all of those years, and then having been nomads in the wilderness for another 40. Now they had a place to call home. And this is why they wrote down so much detail with such a description. This was God's gift to them. They didn't deserve it because of any merit in them. Nor did they gain it by their own military efforts and strategy. No, it was the Lord who drove out their enemies and gave them this victory. The lesson that the writer draws out of the word is that God is faithful. In chapter 21, verse 45, we read, "Not one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled." And this is the main point of the entire book of Joshua. Here the writer sums up the theological significance of everything that has happened so far. It all goes to show that God keeps his promises, that he is faithful to his word. Three times over, in these few verses, it mentions that God keeps his promises. Everything that has happened has worked together for the purpose of God's promises and his plan. And this has also been written down for us. It reminds us that God is still a faithful God, that he will keep his word, that he is still working out everything according to his plan. History is to be read as the story of God directing all events towards the fulfillment of his great plan and bringing his promises to their final conclusion. We need to remember that at the present time, somehow, in some way, God is at work in all the events around the world. God can and will use them for the great purposes of Christ's kingdom in the world. We may have to wait a long time to see the final fulfillment of that, but it will come, and it will be worth waiting for. God's promise was generously fulfilled. The Lord had promised them a good land, flowing with milk and honey. And when the 12 spies first went out to the land, they confirmed that it does flow with milk and honey. We see that in Numbers chapter 14, verse 27. Joshua and Caleb said it was exceedingly good. It had forests and trees, hills and mountains, rivers and lakes, figs and olives and grapes. It had cities that they did not have to build and wells that they did not have to dig. All was theirs to inherit as a generous gift from God. A proper response to all this was thankfulness. Children, if someone gave you a very, very generous gift, you would be grateful. You would say thank you. At least I hope you would. You would want to show your appreciation. And that's what God wanted of Israel. He wanted them to express that gratitude and obedience. And so he gave them many laws to guide their lives in their new land for their good. Laws that were tied up with the land that they lived in. Sadly, Israel did not always display that response. So we may well ask, what about you? What about me? We haven't merely been given the land of Canaan. No, we have received the whole earth and the promise of heaven. Listen to Peter. In his great mercy, he, God, has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Brothers and sisters, we inherit every spiritual blessing. Already we have been raised with Christ, and we are seated with him in the heavenly places. Already we share in his kingly reign over all creation. The whole world is ours to live in and to enjoy. We are kings and priests with Jesus. We live and rule with him. We may well ask, what is an appropriate response? What should we be doing? We must be thankful. We must live glad and joyful lives. Every day we must express our joy in the Lord. God gave Israel the land of Canaan as he promised. It was a generous gift, and they were to live a thankful obedience to the Lord. So that then brings us to the second related lesson in these chapters. God commanded them to occupy the land. They had a job to do. God had given them the land, but this did not mean that they could just sit back and enjoy. No, there was work to be done. They had a task to perform. God had given them an important responsibility. God was faithful, but they too had to be faithful. Their task was to occupy the land. The initial conquest was complete, but there was still a lot to be done, and they had to get on with it. God wanted them to obey him in further work. Brothers and sisters, how does this apply to us today? We are not called upon to go to Palestine to fight with the Zionists. God does not expect us to join a kibbutz and defend Israel against the Palestinians. The physical land of Israel does not have any specific biblical significance today. Rather, the Old Testament land of Israel was a type of kingdom of Christ. Today, we are to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. We are to extend the reign of the Lord Jesus through the whole world. We are to promote his laws. We are to urge people to submit to him wherever they live, in whatever country. You are called to do that in the place that God puts you, just as Israel had to do that in the area the Lord placed them. Each tribe had to fight its own battles in their own territory. In the same way, we have to fight the battles God has given us. We have to do our task in the place assigned to us. We have to fulfill our role in whatever our circumstance. Do our job in our home, school, classroom, business, office, factory, college, lecture room. We have a task to do, a responsibility to fulfill. We must persevere with it. The people of Israel had to do this. They had worked hard in the initial conquest of the land. They had a grip on the territory God had promised them. But now they had to complete the task. They had to finish it off. They had to persevere. There was more to be done. But they were reluctant to do this. When Israel gathered at Shiloh, there were still 7 Israelite tribes that had not received their inheritance. Joshua told them off, "How long will you wait before you begin to take possession of the land the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you?" In other words, you slackers, get on with it. Stop sitting around. Here is a useful lesson for us too, brothers and sisters. It is easier to start something than to finish it off. Think of someone who begins some major house renovations. They begin enthusiastically. They rip out the walls. They tear off the wallpaper. They extend a room. They pull up the carpet. Then they begin the process of putting it all back together. But after the initial burst of energy and activity, they lose enthusiasm. They don't get around to wallpapering in that room. They decide that they can live with the floorboards for a wee while, that the wall never gets properly finished off. They experience the same thing that Israel experienced. It's hard to finish it off. It is difficult to keep going. Yet, this is what God calls us to do. Genuine Christian obedience is not so much seen in courage in a time of crisis as it is in the faithfulness in little things over a long time. Much of life is normal, routine, ordinary. Getting up on time, going to work, doing your duty, remaining cheerful and consistent, being faithful, bringing up your children, loving your neighbor. Most of this is not spectacular or glorious, but it is the obedience God wants of us. It takes plodding, tenacity, endurance, perseverance. They had a task to do. They had to keep at it. They had to go forward in faith. The task that lay ahead of them was difficult. Many of them were afraid. They feared the iron chariots of the Canaanites on the plains, and they hesitated over the hard work of clearing the forested hill country. The pagan nations who were left were securely entrenched in their positions, and they would not easily be moved. But they had to go forth in faith. They had to remember that just as God had helped them in the past, so He would help them in the future. He would go with them. He would enable them to drive out the enemies that remained. Brothers and sisters, we need to do the same. The work of the gospel in New Zealand is not easy, but we have God on our side. We must go forth in faith. The God who helped the people of Israel is the same God who will help us. Even more, the Lord Jesus has assured us that all authority on heaven and earth has been given to Him. He had promised to go with us into the battle, and He will never leave us nor forsake us. So we must go forth in faith. In faith, we need to keep ahead of our final inheritance. The people of Israel had to go and keep fighting all their lives. There was never a time when they could finally relax. There was always more to be done. And that is true for us today. There will always be more to be done. We can never relax. The task is never complete. We have already received the kingdom, but the Lord has not yet come. And so, brothers and sisters, we must keep working, all the while looking ahead in faith to the Lord's return, to our final inheritance, the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem. O sweet and blessed country, the home of God's elect, O sweet and blessed country that eager hearts expect. Jesus, in mercy bring us to that dear land of rest, who art with God the Father and Spirit ever blessed. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious and heavenly Father, we give thanks, O Lord, for these chapters that explained the journeys that your people went through to inherit the land. And we thank you, O Lord, that your promises were indeed fulfilled. And we ask, O Lord, that as we seek to live in your kingdom, that you too may give us the same drive to ensure that we continue to work to spread the word of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.